We read from Luke chapter 17, and in my Bible it's in red, which means I know it was, I don't need it to be red. It was Jesus talking. I just say that because it is red in my Bible. But Jesus is talking, and he's asking some rhetorical questions. He said, "Now, if you have a servant, and that servant is out in the field, and he's either plowing or taking care of the cattle, and the day's over and he comes in, would you tell that servant, 'Well, you've worked hard all day, just go ahead and sit down and eat?" He said, "No, you wouldn't do that. You're the master, he's the servant. What you would do is say, 'Hey, get dinner ready, serve me, and then after you serve me, you go ahead and eat yourself.'" And he says in verse 9, he says, "Does the master, when the servant does what he was supposed to do, when he did what he was commanded to do, does the master say, 'Thank you'?" And Jesus said, "I don't think so." And he says in verse 10, "So likewise ye," he's talking to his disciples, he's talking to those that are gathered around him, listening to him teach, "So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you," in other words, when you did everything that I told you to do, when you've kept my commandments, here's what you say: "We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." And we read that verse, and that's kind of strange. It might not make a little sense as you just read it. God gave us commandments, and we do them. We are obedient. And he says, "When you've done what I've commanded you to do, don't be proud. Don't expect me to say thank you. Say, 'We are unprofitable servants, because all we've done is what you've commanded us to do.'" And many Christians live their lives, and certain times of their lives, I won't stop, but we live our lives certain times of our lives, and we do what God tells us to do, and yet we not only say it, but we feel it. "Well, I don't feel profitable to God. I don't feel useful to God. I don't feel, there feels like there's something missing in my life. I've done what God's told me to do, but there's something missing." And tonight, I want to take this as my launching point, and I want to tell you how you can be profitable. Not from a money sense, but how you can be profitable as a servant of God. I want to tell you how you can be joyful. I want to tell you how you can feel useful. If you still have your Bibles, I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I realized something this morning. You know, I was trying to be more sophisticated. I carried that little Bible. You know, I got that little Bible. I use it for weddings. I'm going to use it for funerals. And I said, you know, it'd be nice if I could preach out of that little Bible. I tried it. Ain't going to work. I got to have my giant print Bible so I can see what's going on. Matthew chapter 5, look down at verse 38. Verse 38. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. "Ye have heard that it hath been said," by the way, this is Jesus talking again, middle of the Sermon on the Mount. "Ye have heard that it hath been said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." And here's what Jesus was saying. Look, I want you to go beyond the law. I want you to go beyond the letter of the law. I've entitled my sermon tonight, "The Second Mile." The first mile is the mile of character, where we do what God tells us to do. The second mile, the mile that has joy, the mile that has fulfillment, the mile that has profit as a servant of God, the second mile is when I go beyond the law and I do more than Jesus or God commands me to do. He gives us some examples in that verse 39. He says, if somebody smacks you on the right cheek, rather than get mad, boy, that kind of hurt. But no Chantel, no demonstrations in the back. If somebody smacks you on the right cheek, then just go ahead and turn the left cheek. If you're gonna if they're going to slap you on one, just go ahead and offer them the other. If somebody sues you and takes away your coat, they take you to court and they take your coat. Said, go ahead and let them have your coat. That's the first mile. That's the law. But then go ahead and let them have your cloak. In other words, your overcoat. Go ahead and just give them both to them. The law says you only got to give them your coat, but just go ahead and take that second mile and let them have your cloak. And then it says, and whoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Back in this day, it was a law that the Romans could force people to carry their packs for them a mile. I mean, if you were just walking along the road and a soldier came up and said, hey, I want you to carry my pack. Sorry, John, I don't have my mic. I have it down here. I'll try to stay behind the pulpit. If a Roman soldier said, hey, I want you to carry my pack, you were compelled to carry it for a mile. And the people back then had the road divided into very small increments so that they knew where they started and they knew exactly when a mile ended. I mean, you know, we got these markers, I think they're every tenth of a mile along the freeway. Well, they had them closer together than that. And so when they started, they knew that by law they had to carry that pack for a mile. And many, many people, that's what they did. They picked up the pack. They grudgingly carried it for a mile. When they hit the exact marker that marked a mile from where they started, they said, there you go. I've done what I was commanded to do. And what Jesus said, hey, all right, you've kept the law, but you want to have joy? You want to have a good time? Go ahead and carry it another mile. You don't have to. I mean, but the law only says that you got to carry it 1 mile, but just go ahead and carry it another mile. And that second mile is the mile that makes us profitable to God. That second mile is the mile that gives us that sense of fulfillment. That second mile is the mile that gives us joy in serving God. You think about those that race, that run foot races. They run the 440. I think it's 440 yards around a track once, if I remember from high school. And they'll train and they'll run and they'll sweat. And I never did that. The only time I did it is when I had to in gym. I got a D minus in gym. I probably shouldn't tell you this, but gym was not one of my favorite classes. I could never make it up to the top of the rope. You know, we had to climb hand over hand. I could never mind. So the 440, once around the track, and people train, and they run, and they sweat, and they work. But you know what they do after they win a race? They run a victory lap. They run around the track one more time. Now, many of them, I've talked to my fellow gymnasts. I probably shouldn't say that, but I've talked to my, you know, people that run. I said, I don't understand why you guys run the victory lap. I mean, I hear you talking. I mean, it's a lot of work to run, and you complain about all the training that you do. And then when you win, what do? You run that victory lap. And you say, and they said, we don't understand. It was work to run that one lap that we had to run to win the race, but it was fun to run that victory lap. It was a joy to run that victory lap. And that's what Jesus is saying in these verses. Yeah, the first mile is doing what we're commanded to do. But if you want joy in your Christian life, go beyond that first mile. Go beyond what the law says, and you'll have joy in your Christian life. You'll be a profitable servant to God. Now, here on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us three examples. I want to use these three examples, and I'm going to use one more from the book of Malachi. But if you'll have your Bibles open, go to Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. Here's what Jesus said. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. That's the first mile. That's keeping the commandment. Thou shalt not kill. Here's the second mile. Jesus said, "But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." What Jesus was saying is, the first mile is thou shalt not kill. That's the commandment. But if you want joy, if you want to be fulfilled, go ahead and run the second mile. And the second mile is to not get angry with anybody without a cause. Without a cause. In other words, what he's saying is, if you're going to get mad on purpose. For a reason, for a cause. Don't fly off the handle. Don't get angry without thinking about what you're doing. And let me give you a couple examples to explain what I mean. The second time that Moses and Aaron went to the rock of Horeb to get water for the Israelites, they got mad. They lost their temper. God had told them, hey, the first time you went, I had you strike the rock. The second time you go, I just want you to speak to it, and water will come out. And Moses got so mad, remember? He got so mad, he called all the people together. He said, "You rebels, why do I have to do this again?" And he took his rod and he smote the rock when God told him not to. He was angry. He lost his temper. He lost his temper. Lost his tempo, just like I did in choir practice tonight. But he lost his temper. He lost his temper. And you remember the price that he paid for that. God wouldn't let him go into the promised land. That was the reason. He said, no, you didn't. You lost your temper without a cause. Now, contrast that to Jesus when he went into the temple. And he cast out those that were exchanging money and selling things in the temple. He was angry, but he got angry on purpose. He didn't get angry at the spur of a moment. He thought about what he was doing. He had a cause. He says, "You've made my house a den of thieves. You've done things in my father's house that you shouldn't have done. And I'm going to get mad on purpose." And he got mad. He made a small whip. He turned over the tables and he drove out those that were in the temple buying and selling. David, when he fought Goliath, he got mad. But he didn't lose his temper at the spur of the moment. He got to thinking about it. Who is this guy that is defiling the armies of God? Who is this guy that's cursing God? Is there not, remember what he told his brothers? Is there not a cause? I mean, he said, I'm mad at this guy. I'm going to go out and I'm going to kill him with my slingshot. He got mad, but he did not lose his temper. In the book of James, it says, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Swift to hear. In other words, I'll be quick to listen, but slow to speak. Sometimes we talk without thinking about what we say. We let our emotions take charge of us. And what James is saying, hey, be quick to hear, but be careful what you say. Another place in the Bible it says you cannot call back your words. Once it's said forever. Once those words go into somebody's ear, they're going to be there forever. Slow to speak, and then he says, slow to wrath. Slow to wrath. If you're going to get mad on purpose. But when you get mad on purpose, do it slowly. Slowly. Too many of us let external circumstances determine whether we're mad or not. And our madness, our anger, should not come from things that happen on the outside. It should come from the inside after we have thought about it and have come up with a cause that deserves anger. In Ephesians chapter, and by the way, here's what Jesus is saying. Okay, first mile is don't kill. But if we fly off the handle, if we let our anger control us, what happens? I'll get you. And in our mind, we're killing that person. I'd like to get you. In fact, I will get you. And Jesus said, that's not profitable. But if we control our anger, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, the Bible says this, be ye angry and sin not. Be ye angry and sin not. Now, the only way you can do that is to think before you get angry. If you or I, and by the way, I'm preaching to myself more than anybody else. I've told you before, when I was a teenager, I would get mad at the drop of a hat. If something didn't go my way, I'd take my baseball and my bat, I'd go home. The game ended because I had the baseball. I'm not proud of it, but that's where I've come from. And I've fought it all my life. I mean, when something happens that doesn't go my way, that old nature rises up in with me, and I just want to take somebody and put my hands around their neck and squeeze them for all I'm worth. You say, preacher, you shouldn't say that. I'm a human being. I'm just telling you. I still have those tendencies. I mean, I don't suggest this, but you can talk to Adam. You can talk to Chantel. You can talk to Jessica. They have seen my anger. And in fact, I don't want you to talk to them about it. Because you know how they embellish things, you know. But here's what God's saying. You can be angry, but have a cause. And think about it. And do it on purpose. That's the second mile. When people do us wrong, and the natural tendency is to get mad, we may not kill them, but we're killing them in our mind. And what Jesus is saying, hey, if you want to go the second mile, don't get mad. Don't get mad. Number two, look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's the commandment. One of the Ten Commandments. Verse 28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So the first mile is don't commit adultery. Stay faithful to your marriage vows. But Jesus said, okay, when we've done what we've commanded, we need to say, I'm an unprofitable servant. Now, the second mile, what Jesus says in this verse is, don't look and commit lust in your heart. Don't look. Now, that word look is a linear look. It means look and look and look and look and look. I've told you before, Satan for sure is going to put things in front of our eyes that we know not to look at. And we can choose to turn our head away, or we can do what this verse says, and look and look and look. And I'll just be honest with you, if you look long enough, it's going to lead to the wrong kind of thoughts. And we'd be better, and look, I was over, I want to call him a friend. I think he's a friend. I went over to his house a few weeks ago, and I sat down. Nobody in the church, just a friend from work. I sat down at the house. He had a couple Playboy magazines laying on the coffee table. I just reach over and turn them over. He said, what are you doing? I said, I don't like your decorations. I'm just turning them over. I said, why do you have these magazines? He said, I like the editorials. I said, no, you don't. And we got into a little discussion about, a little discussion. That's all I'll say. I had a preacher, a pastor, that used to say, look, you can't stop a bird from landing on your head, but you can stop them from building a nest there. I mean, I drive down a highway. I see things on signs that I shouldn't look at, and I turn my head. I go to the grocery store and check out. I see things on the magazines at the grocery store that I shouldn't look at, so I turn my head. I mean, there are things that come in catalogs. There are things that come in magazines that I shouldn't look at. So I throw them out. I don't care who ordered them. I just throw them out. I don't want them. Because I'll be tempted to look. I don't want to look. I just throw them out. And that's what Jesus is saying. Hey, you want joy? You want to be fulfilled? You want to be a profitable servant? Don't just stop with keeping the commandment. Go ahead and go the second mile. Watch what you put before your eyes. Don't put it before your eyes. And let me just go ahead. If you haven't made you mad yet, let me just go ahead and make everybody mad. What kind of TV shows do you watch? Yeah, cooking. But let me ask you this. I'll just make it real simple. If I was to come over to your house and watch TV with you, would you be embarrassed about the kind of shows that you watch? You say, "Preacher, I watch good shows." Well, I'll be honest with you. I haven't found many of them. I mean, there is nudity. There is cursing. There is a disrespect for God and for the principles that he set up for us to live in just about every... I mean, you say, "You ever watch TV?" Yeah, sometimes I watch the Andy Griffith Show. I never heard anybody curse. I never heard anybody take God's name in vain. I never heard anybody on the... I mean, Barney got in trouble sometimes, but, you know, it wasn't for doing stuff they shouldn't have done. Well, yeah, I guess it was, but you know what I'm talking about. And I'm just saying, if you want to go to... You say, "Well, preacher, I think some of those things are okay," and that's fine if you think that. I'm just telling you, if we're going to be in this thing, let's be in it whole hog. If we're going to be in this thing called Christianity, if we're going to do what God tells us to do, let's go ahead and not move with the world as it moves further and further away from wrong. Let's draw some lines and stay within the lines. Say, "Well, preacher, they'll call me old-fashioned." So? Let them call you old-fashioned. I mean, let's the TV shows we watch, the videos we watch, the magazines we get. If something is offensive to you, say, "Well, I can get over that." Well, why would you want to get over it? If it comes in the door and the first thought you have, "Man, this is not right," why keep it? Throw it out. Cancel your subscription. I wouldn't get any magazines. Well, that'd give you more time to read your Bible. And all I'm saying is, if you want to have the happiness and the joy in your life that God intends for us to have as Christians, don't just stop with keeping the commandments. Go ahead and go the second mile. I got to hurry. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44. "You have heard that it hath been said, 'Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy.' But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." The commandment. First commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and might. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We all have different kind of neighbors. I always think about Brother Dwayne's neighbor that had the motorcycle that 1 o'clock in the morning would go, or the race car. And I said, and I remember Ken, Brother Dwayne, "You love that neighbor, don't you?" He said, "Nope." An honest man. "I don't love that neighbor." And who's our neighbor? Everybody. Everybody. And so Jesus said, "Hey, the commandment is to love your neighbor." But he says, if you want to have happiness in your life, you want to have real joy, you want to be a profitable servant to me, then love your enemy. Those that curse you. Those that hate you. Those that despitefully use you. And I know what's running through your mind right now. "Well, you don't know what they did to me." Doesn't matter. Where does it say there's a condition in that verse? I see no condition in that verse. They hate you. They've cursed you. They've used you despitefully. And Jesus said, you want to have joy in your life? Then love them. Okay, preacher, I'll work up that fuzzy feeling that says, I love everybody. It's not what it's talking about. You've heard me say many, many times, love is just not a feeling. It's an action. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So when you want to have joy in your life? I mean, you want to do something that will make you feel good this week? Think about the person that you hate, that you despise, that has despised you, that has despitefully used you. We all have them in our life. And then go out and do something good for them. Bake them a pie. Send them a hamburger. Hey, if any of you are mad at me, send me to White Castle, would you? Say, "Preacher, I don't know if I can do it." Well, sure you can. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." It won't be you doing it, it'll be the Holy Spirit doing it through you. But he'll only do that if you let him. Here's what we do. We as Christians, we get upset with somebody, and that grows and grows and grows, and we get bitter, and that bitterness does nothing to the person who it's directed toward. Who it messes up is us. Is us. And what Jesus said You want to know how to get over it? Love them. Buy them a flower. Buy them a book. Buy them a Butterfingers candy bar. I'm all out, by the way, Brother Harold. I'm all out. Last one. You don't need to turn to it. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Reg, listen to me. I don't preach about tithing very much. I'm about to preach about it. Malachi 3:10. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now with, herewith saith the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you should not be able to contain it. What's the law? We tithe. We give 10% of our gross. If I gross 100, my tithe is 10. If I gross 1,000, my tithe is 100. If I gross $3,420, my gross is $342. Say, it's Old Testament. Yep, it's Old Testament. But it's Old Testament. That's the law. When we tithe, we haven't done anything for God. We've just given him back what belongs to him. When you write your check to consumers every month, do you expect a thank you note? Sometimes I do because it's so much, but when I write my check to consumers, I don't expect to get a note back and say, thank you, Mr. Manning, for paying your bill. If I don't pay my bill, I expect to get my heat turned off. But I don't expect a thank you note. When we tithe, what we've done is we've done what God's commanded us to do. You know what brings joy? It's when I take my 10% and I give it to God, and then I take the next percent and the next percent and the next percent and the next percent, and I give it to God. I go over and above. I go the second mile. That's what makes me a profitable servant. That's what gives me fulfillment. That's what gives me joy. You see, when I've given my tithe, I haven't done anything for God. I've just given back to what already belongs to him. It's when I give over and above my tithe that he says, well done. Well done. So, going back to Luke chapter 17, where we started. When the servant does what he's commanded to do, Jesus said, here's what you say. I am an unprofitable servant. I've only done what I was commanded to do. Which tells me that if we want to be profitable to God, if we want to have fulfillment and joy in our life, then we go beyond what was commanded. We go the second mile. That's what gives us joy. That's what gives us fulfillment in our Christian life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the wisdom that comes from this book. And I pray that we'd be second mile Christians. I pray we'd keep the law. I pray we'd keep the commandments. But Father, help us to realize that that's the minimum. We haven't done anything if we've done that. Help us to go beyond what the law says. Help us to follow the things that Jesus said. Help us to love our enemies. Help us to keep what's in front of our eyes clean and pure. Help us not to be angry without a cause. Father, I pray tonight for somebody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they'd realize that they're a sinner. They realize the price of that sin is eternal separation from you. Father, help them see the truth of the gospel, that you gave your only begotten Son who had no sin, but who went to Calvary's cross to pay for all of ours. And tonight, if we'd ask him, he'd be our Savior. So I pray if there's just one person here that's never made that decision, never asked Jesus to be their Savior, tonight would be the night they do it. Holy Spirit, you help them. You draw them to Christ. Bless this time of invitation. Father, use it as you see fit. Help us to be obedient as the Holy Spirit speaks. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.